You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to William Hill's boxing podcast in the company of Steve Bunce, as ever. You well, Steve?
Never been better, Lee. What Good. A time. What a time to be a heavyweight reporter in a heavyweight business.
Well, yeah, that's superb. We've got a great action coming up over the next 2 weeks. We've got the Dillian White, Oscar Rivas and Derek Chisora and Dave Allen in action next weekend. Before all of that, though, we've got some cracking action. Danny Dubois versus Nathan Gorman. Joe Joyce in action against Bryant Jennings as well. And we've got Huey Fury to look at. So plenty going on. The interesting thing, Buncey, is that obviously all the chat is around, you know, the big three. You know, I'm talking Fury, I'm talking Wilder, I'm talking Ruiz, of course. And, of course, William Hill's global ambassador, Anthony Joshua. But, yeah, the upper echelons of the heavyweight scene, fascinating, but this next level down, and then even if you're counting the likes of Dubois and Gorman and Joyce as the next level below that, are fascinating. There's three levels of heavyweight boxing that are all fascinating.
So what you're dealing with there, you're mentioning that, if we just throw it ahead just quickly, Dillian White, British, David Price, British, Dave Allen, British, Derek Chisora, British, Gorman, British, Dubois, British, and of course Joe Joyce, British. Seven heavyweights, throw in Fury and throw in Mr. Joshua. You're looking at nine British heavyweights inside the top 20. Mm. You're looking at the best two under 24-year-old heavyweights in the world right now in Gorman and Dubois. You're looking at the incredible challengers way overdue their chances. And you're looking at two guys who would be kings. Let's write this down now on a piece of fag paper on the back of a Starbucks cup. This is the greatest time ever for British heavyweight boxing, period. That's almost a podcast done and dusted daily, you understand?
Yes, indeed, yeah. Let's have a look at... we're going to go to Jeddah first of all, Buncey. We'll start with...
Jeddah, why not?
Yeah, why not, indeed. Huey Fury is fighting Samuel Peter. Fury is a very short price, 1 to 100. Samuel Peter, 16 to 1. The draw, 33 to 1. Loads of round betting. We've got an enhanced odds special, which is Fury to win in rounds 6 through 10. That it's a 10-round fight, by the way. Was 9-4, now 5-2. We probably wouldn't normally speak about a 1-100 shot, Buncey, but I just wanted to have a chat about Fury in that he's almost in danger of becoming a bit of a forgotten man. 22 wins, two losses he's had, never been stopped. Joseph Parker beat him, of course, then Kubrat Pulev beat him, came back and beat Chris Norad. Is this a good opportunity for him to put himself back on the radar against Samuel Peter, who is 38-7. He's been stopped four times himself. He's lost two of the last four and three of the last seven, I think it is. Obviously at the latter end of his career, approaching 40 now, the Nigerian nightmare. But does he have to do a job here?
Yeah, he has to do a job and he has to look good doing it. But he's not the type of guy, Yui, to get someone out of there quick. He's not dissimilar in some ways to his patient cousin, although obviously Tyson fought differently last time out in Vegas against Tom Schwartz. I see Yuri doing the business here. 10 rounds is not going to be, in my opinion, it's a harsh thing to say, but this is the heavyweight business and lots of people are trying to get attention and lots of people are trying to win over the public. Yuri's got to stop him. And I like those enhanced odds. I actually got written down here on my pad 8-9. So that falls way inside your 6-10. Mm. That's my feeling, is that, you know, Samuel Peters will be there. Peter Fury, Tyson's former trainer, and Yui's father will be in the corner, and he won't be wanting Yui to take any risks. I'm assuming he'll wear Peter down. I'm going 8-9, but it could creep in by 6. But I'm going 8-9, Yui Fury, and that's what he has to do, and basically not take a shot, look good doing it. Because those two defeats, you know, Kubrat Pulev, he suffers a career-ending cut, or a cut that's reopened, potential career-ending cut. And then he loses a really tight decision to Joseph Parker. Yep. Nothing wrong with those two defeats, mate, I can assure you. Those are good losses.
Let's have a look at Amir Khan on this on this bill in the King Abdullah Sports City Stadium. This is for the vacant WBC International welterweight title, Buncey, against Billy Dibb. One thing that may have passed me by, Buncey, and you know... What's the I've noticed that on the there's a on BoxRec there's an asterisk, one of the not a famous Bunty asterisk, a BoxRec exclamation mark saying suspended by the New York State Athletic Commission indefinitely.
Yeah, that's,
what's that about?
That's when you get stopped in New York, they stick that on your record. When you get stopped in Las Vegas, I think it shows up. But that's pending a formal medical from as far as I know, it's pending a formal medical from a registered organisation that clears him. So that's what happened. Yeah. So you've left the ring, so they have to stick that on your record because you got stopped on the night, you see.
Yeah, interesting. Never seen that before. You learn something every day, don't you?
No, well, if you look closely, you'll see it. So if you go back over any New York shows recently, find a guy who got stopped.
So Joshua have one over
Josh, in Texas. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, now we've said that, he probably hasn't. If you check Joshua... If you check Joshua's record whilst we're recording this, I'm sure it will say suspended pending a formal investigation.
Anyway, get on with on the fight. Obviously, Amir Khan, we last saw him losing to Terence Crawford, being stopped. His record now reads 33-5. Five losses feature four stoppages. We all know the chat around Amir Khan's chin. He's fighting Billy Dibb, who fights out of Australia. 45-5, his record. He's been stopped twice in his five defeats. Last lost to Tevin Farmer, which was for a title in back in Australia. The odds will suggest, Bunty, that this is an open and shut case for Amir Khan. 1-50. The draw 33-1. Billy Dibb 12-1. Where are we here with Amir Khan?
This is a sort of odd old fight. Actually, it's not as dreadful as some people are trying to make out. It's in an odd location, Saudi Arabia. Second fight there in 8 or 9 months. Dibb's not big enough to travel Khan, who is big. And remember, he fought for the world middleweight title not so long ago. Dibb's perfectly okay for this kind of end of career or not exhibition, that's the wrong word, but fight that gives you a bit of exposure. I mean, Khan, in theory, looks good here. The Saudis take him to their heart, and there's no shortage of cash there, which is the most redundant statement I've ever uttered. And then the next thing you know, he's got another world title fight out there. Hey, stranger things have happened. I'm going for Khan to suddenly look rejuvenated. He sounds rejuvenated. He looks rejuvenated in the pictures. I'm going for him to get rid of Dibb by about 6 rounds, 4-6, something like that.
Yeah, there's plenty of betting available here. Khan in the first 6 rounds is 4-7. You can have individual rounds around the 7-1 mark, 13-2, 8-1. I'm sure by the time we're recording this on Thursday, so I'm sure by the time Fight Night comes around on Friday, then you'll be able to group those rounds together. But just for the purposes of an ACCA that we always put together, I'm going to put in the rounds 1-6.
Good.
The worry is with Khan that he sounded upbeat and pretty positive before his last fight as well. But
he did,
obviously, but Dibb isn't Crawford, clearly.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. That was the key there. He was in great nick, in my opinion. Mm. For Crawford, of course, it turns out he had some kind of shoulder stroke right arm injury going into the fight. But he was in great nick for that fight. It's just that Crawford was in better nick.
Yes.
Yeah. It's that simple.
Let's have a look at this this bill, which looks a cracker with these heavyweight at the O2 Arena on Saturday night. And there's a couple of fights, Bunty, on the undercard here that they've got quite short price favourites. Sonny Edwards is 1-12 to beat Hiram Garrido, and Liam Williams is 1-12 to beat Karim Achor. I think that's how you pronounce Achor. They're both 6-1, the opponents, and the draw is 25-1. I mean, these are decent looking fights, Bunty, and for belts as well. Is 1-12 a little short, or is it kind of justified?
I think it's way short. I mean, Edwards is still a baby in boxing terms. The Mexican kid's got some experience, and Williams' opponent has never been stopped, as far as I can make out. He's been in with some big names. You expect maybe the two of them to win, but you know, there's off nights. I always find summer shows odd. Odd things happen in July and August fights. I really find them a weird kind of time. Maybe it's that I'm used to a sort of almost like a season. But I fancy the pair of them to win. I'm not quite sure I fancy the pair of them to win as strong as those odds. Mm. But hey ho, Leah Williams, I think, is in fantastic form at the moment, and Edwards, well. you know, it's a sort of harsh thing to say, but he's being fairly avoided at the moment. He's a good little fighter, and he's a good story, and he's a good talker, and his brother's a world champion, considered the best at fly in the world. That's a talented little household. I fancy the pair of them to win. I fancy Edwards might get to his opponent. Williams, if he gets to him, it'd be a phenomenal win.
Let's have a look at these two heavyweight bouts then, shall we? We'll start with the Joe Joyce, Bryant Jennings fight, first of all. Joyce, 9-0, still, you know, as you kind of always term them like babies, 33-year-old baby, but, you know, kind of in terms of heavyweight experience, 9 professional fights going into this one. Last seen beating Alexander Ustinov, beat Bermain Stiverne before that, of course. So already starting to get some decent names on his record. Bryant Jennings' record reads 24-3. He's been stopped twice. Oscar Rivas, who we'll see next weekend, stopped him. Last time, I think that was in January of this year. And he was stopped by Luis Ortiz back in 2015, but obviously been in with the likes of Dmytrenko and, of course, Vladimir Klitschko and a few other decent names, Buncey. The betting shows us that Joyce is a 2-9 favourite, so not as short as some of these other favourites that we've been talking about already.
Rightly so.
100-30, Bryant Jennings. We've got round-by-round betting. We've got alternate group round betting, so plenty to go at here. Fascinating, this one, Buncey. And it's great. I mean, it feels like the perfect kind of opponent for Joe Joyce at this stage of his career.
Let me tell you something. If Bryant Jennings had been announced as Tyson Fury's opponent for last month, we wouldn't have batted an eyelid. True. If Anthony Joshua doesn't fight Ruiz in a rematch, and it was announced that he was going to come back against Bryant Jennings, we wouldn't have batted an eyelid. You know, you appreciate that, don't you?
Yeah.
Let's get that right.
Yeah.
And he's being thrown in with Joe Joyce. You know, forget all of my expressions about him being a baby. He's just a novice heavyweight. Mm-hmm. Let's not imagine there's some kind of secret Joe Joyce. The Joe Joyce you see is the Joe Joyce you know. Sometimes he's a bit stiff. Sometimes he gets hit with too many punches. And that's his own admission. He says, I'm working on that. I'm working on my footwork. I'm working on missing punches. I don't want to get hit every time, he says. He says, but I do enjoy it sometimes. This is a terrific fight. This is not a good fight. This is a great fight. And I agree. I was with Bryant Jennings early this week at a press conference over at BT. And he genuinely doesn't understand why they're so keen for it. He doesn't understand why they're so desperate for it. He wants to know what they've seen in him that he hasn't seen in him when he looks himself in the mirror. And when he lost earlier this year against Oscar Rivas, who next week fights Dillian White, more on that next week, the scores were close at the end. One judge had Jennings in front by 3 rounds, and the other two judges narrowly had Rivas in front. He was stopped in the 12th and final round. And some people might say, yeah, but Dillian White's a lot bigger than Rivas. Well, Jennings was 4 inches taller. Jennings had an 8-inch reach advantage. Dillian White will actually have less of a reach advantage and about the same height advantage as Bryant Jennings. I'm telling you, he's a good fighter, Bryant Jennings. I fancy Joyce because he's an engine and he works. I think he's got a good chin and I think he can vary his work. And he's working with Adam Booth and that will bring out some of the movement in him, a bit of lateral movement, a bit of relaxation. But I'm going to buck the trend here. I'm going to do it again when we talk about the main fight. I'm going to go for Joe Joyce on point.
All right.
I think Jennings has got enough left. He knows this is a great, not shortcut, but a great way back in. Instead of going off and having 3 fights for peanuts against nobodies, this is and that's what he could have done. He insists, the Philly in me, he's from Philadelphia, he said, he wants this, a real fight, and it is a real fight. And if we imagine Dubois and Gorman is sliding under the radar, this is sliding under the radar. Take this fight, take these stats, take these two boxers back to any decade in British boxing, and it's a great fight then, as it's a great fight now. I'm going for Joyce on point, and I think there could be some hairy moments. And listen, I hope Joyce hits him on the chin really early and makes me look like a fool, but I think it's going to be a hard fight. I think it's going to be a hard night. I'm going for Joe Joyce on points.
Wow, 4-1 the price for Joyce on points. Obviously never been the distance himself.
Absolutely.
So far. I think the furthest he's been is round 6 against Stiverne when he stopped him. He'd already dropped him in 3, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Fascinating.
sometimes, Lee, you can go 10 rounds, it means nothing because you've won every second of the 10 rounds and you've not had to think once.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can go 4 rounds and you can go through a mini life in that 4 rounds. Yeah. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wrong. It's Ian Lewis in that first fight he had. Was that when eight, didn't it?
Ridiculous match on paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Stupid match. Brilliant matchmaking and stupid matchmaking. Yeah. The best type.
Let's have a look at this British heavyweight title fight, Buncey, which I know you're saying going under the radar, but you know, hopefully it makes people tune in. And then if they don't tune in, think, why didn't I tune into that? Daniel Dubois versus Nathan Gorman. Some great, not just because Buncey's on the podcast, but some great stuff from BT Sport building up to this fight. If you go on YouTube and check out the YouTube channel, there's some really good stuff. Fascinating, Buncey. There's so many other fights you can liken this to. I know you've already likened it to the kind of the levels that these two are at, and the kind of the acronym maybe between the two of them. Maybe not quite as bad as George Groves, James DeGale, but it's got a similar feel to that. I think it's got an almost similar feel to Wilder Fury in a way as well. And I think Dubois is probably a better boxer than Wilder. You'd maybe give Wilder credit for, but it's the puncher versus the boxer, if you like. Absolutely fascinating. Cannot wait for this. This has got the hallmarks of being one of the great British title fights. 1-2 Dubois, 8-5 Gorman, 20-1 the draw. I mean, Gorman would be looking at that, maybe sticking that up on the dressing room wall, thinking, you know, nearly 2-1 to beat Dubois. He fancies it, Gorman. Can he just stay out of the way of Dubois, you know, heavy hitting? Is the question.
I think he can, but also how long does he have to stay out of the way of it?
Mm.
You know, does he have to stay out of the way of it for 4 rounds? So we go into foreign territory. Listen, let's get this right. These two between them, Dubois never officially lost a round as a professional boxer. And Gorman's only lost 2 rounds. And one of those was disputed by another judge. So really, he's only lost 1 round, technically, as a pro. So, you know, I was talking earlier on about you can go 10 rounds and not learn anything. You can go 4 rounds and learn a lifetime.
Yeah.
Their two careers are finished. That what they've done already is over. On Saturday, it's the start of the new career. That was the old stuff, the easy stuff, the stuff where you don't break a sweat. You don't need to do anything except to show up, put your jockstrap in, put your gum shield in and get in the ring. That's all over. On Saturday, the second stage begins for the pair of them. And it will be an education and a lesson and a thrill and a delight to watch, because we have no idea how they'll respond when A, they're hit on the chin, when B, the other guy doesn't fall over, when they hear round 5 and the previous 4 rounds have been really hard and really torrid. I don't doubt their chins, their punching power, their athleticism, their desire. I don't doubt any of those things. But what happens to a boxer in a fight? In a hard heavyweight fight, has nothing to do with them. It just naturally happens. They decline quickly. They unravel quickly. We've seen the greatest fighters in history unravel. Look what happened to George Foreman in Zaire against Ali. That wasn't the plan. How'd you train for that? I'm going to run out of energy and fall over when he clips me with a right hand. So we have no idea what's going to happen after 2, 3, 4, and 5 rounds, because even though they've been 10 rounds and Gorman's been 12 rounds, they've never been 12 rounds when the guy opposite is looking to knock you out and doesn't fall over when you clip him with anything above the navel. This is not a good fight. It's a great fight. These two heavyweight fights together form some kind of ridiculous double act that I'm convinced, and I know I use it all the time, can be placed in history. Anywhere you want to put these two fights, go put them there. I'm telling you, Lee, that's the truth. Anywhere you want to put them, they're that good. Now, let's come down to what you're going to ask me. How does it play out? I've already said we don't know. But we know certain things. We know Dubois got a great engine, and we know the people in his corner, Martin Bowers and the Peacock Gym, they're not stupid. They're not going to have him throw 250 punches in the first round. Trust me, he's not going to waste that many punches. He's not going to come out swinging like a lunatic looking to knock Gorman out. If he half clips Gorman and Gorman's legs go, Dubois will be all over him. Gorman is not going to run and be fancy the whole time. Don't be silly. He can't do that for 36 minutes. He's not an idiot. So he might try and be a little bit clever. He might try and slow the action down, get a bit closer. Daniel possibly is not as good at working inside as Gorman is. Gorman is a little bit wiser as a boxer, so he might try and fiddle him. All sorts of things unravel here, and that's why I'm going, Lee, and I think you might have got a gist of this. I'm going for a draw.
Wow.
I'm going for these two, winning, losing rounds. I'm looking for the pair of them to tire. I don't doubt that one can clip the other and drop him. If that happens late in the fight, I think it's over. I really do. Equally, if it happens in the first round, it's probably over. I'm not trying to be controversial, and I'm certainly not sitting on the fence. I'm going for a draw. And if it's not a draw, I'm going for controversy. Maybe stopped early. Maybe a decision goes one way when it maybe should have gone the other way. Mm. I'm going for a draw in this fight and points in the other two. And they might both end in the second round, but hey-ho. You only have to make predictions, remember, yeah. Not friends.
Absolutely, yeah. 20-1 the price for the... we've seen them. We've seen stranger things happen. That's for sure. If you want to back the fight to go the distance for the purposes of ACCAs or something like that, that's 5-4. So you could have that. There's plenty you can go on there. Buncey, one of the great things about this fight, before I get onto the ACCA that I've been building, is that, and a bit like the Groves De Gale fight way back when, is that, you know, we've all been following these, well, you know, most boxing fans will have been following these two guys' careers, and there's something wonderful about being able to follow a career from zero, you know, from the amateurs, obviously, yeah. And then through into the pro, and you go from zero, you can follow them. We've done it with Joshua, I've done it with Fury himself, and I've watched, you know, every fight he's been in. I've been to, you know, watch him in small hall fights, and you get an affiliation with a boxer. This is where you almost take sides suddenly. I'm a fan of both these guys, and whatever happens in this fight, you might just branch off and go become a Gorman guy just over Dubois, or a Dubois guy just over Gorman, or you might
Absolutely.
Just love, you know, because you suddenly had Groves fans and De Gale fans, didn't you? Whereas before, you know, you were just these two up and coming fighters. Fascinating as a boxing fan to see where this goes from here on in, and hopefully, you know, both of them put in a fantastic performance, and they both grow from it. Whatever happens coming out of it, I think Gorman said, whoever wins this is 12 months ahead of the other one, which I thought was a perfect way of explaining that. And it doesn't mean that the one's career is over, of course. It just means that one gets a leg up, but the other one might learn more out of the defeat than the one who wins. So who knows where it goes. Fascinating. Brilliant. The ACCA, Buncey, which is Fury in round 6-10. Khan, I've just gone rounds 1-6. That's all we've got at the minute. Joe Joyce by decision. And this fight to go the distance... that's 5-4. That comes out at 56.45-1, which is a nice little price. And if you logged into your William Hill account, you'll get a bet boost on that price as well, and it'll take it up to a very tasty 67-1. So quid on that wins you 68 quid back.
Hey.
Worth a go, isn't it? And then have another quid on the 20-1, and if it all comes in, you're laughing. Buncey.
Leaf.
Can't
Thank
wait for next
much,
week.
Mate.
Yeah, brilliant. Have a great weekend on BT Sport, and we'll speak to you before the next heavyweight clashes next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.